Been thinking about baptism today, not surprisingly, and all week as we prepare and think about celebrating this important step in a person's life today. And I think about baptism in the time when Jesus lived and taught, even as Paul, some 70 or 80 years later, was writing his letter to the Galatians and saying that as you are baptized, a couple of things Paul says. In Romans, he says, just as in baptism, we die as Christ died so that we might be raised to new life as Christ was raised to new life. And then in this Galatians passage where we are neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, it changes everything, putting on the clothes of Christ. And I was thinking about baptism in the setting of the early church. Where do they baptize people, do you think? In the river. Yeah, they would go to the River Jordan, or maybe they would go to the Sea of Galilee, or the Red Sea, or the Reed Sea. You know, lots of places. Anywhere you could find a body of water. They didn't go to a sanctuary and baptize somebody in a pool like this. They might have gone to a public bath. I could see them maybe taking over a public bath. You know, there were public baths in Greece and in this part of the world. But eventually, some 200 or 300 years later now, right, when they started building church buildings, some people would say that was the demise of Christianity when they started building church buildings, but it's history. It's what it was. Then they started putting in a baptistry. And I'm fascinated, if you've ever looked at some of the early structures, and then as the churches move through history, the baptistry began to resemble one of two things, a tomb and a womb. The baptistry resembles a tomb. This one resembles a tomb. It's almost about the size of a coffin. It's a big coffin. And that was intentional. They wanted you to actually reenact or enact for the first time your own death. They wanted you to imagine what it was like to lay down and die. Were you imagining that, Dylan? And if I would have left you in that water long enough, it would have been more than imagination. You would have might known what it's like to die. And it actually, you know, it's kind of a scary thing. And falling back and leaning back, that's a real trust thing. And it's all part of the imagery and metaphor of baptism is dying. Well, somewhere, and also if you go through parts of Europe, you'll find a baptistry, and you'll notice, and in the more Protestant churches where we start, and Catholic churches, sorry, but where they don't baptize by immersion, but where they sprinkle, that baptistry sometimes stands on a pedestal, and then it has this round basin, and it looks like a womb. And we take a baby, right, as though it's coming out of the womb into life. So what is it about the tomb and the womb that speaks of baptism? Or I should flip that around. What is it about baptism that brings to mind the tomb and the womb? Well, it's fairly obvious on one. It's about dying to an old way of being and being born into a new way of being. So we come out of the water just like the waters of birth, dripping wet with new life. We come out of the tomb and we leave behind all the things that we need to leave behind. And then, just like Dylan did today, he shed these old clothes that were wet and dripping wet, and he put new clothes on. But for us, the new clothes are more, I want to say, symbolic, but also maybe just more significant. They're deeper. They're more of our own essence. And I just came up with a couple of ideas, and maybe you have some ideas too, about what it is when we put these new clothes of Christ on, what are we putting on, and what are we letting go? We're putting on compassion, and we're leaving behind complacence. We're putting on compassion. We're going to live lives of passion and compassion. And we will not be complacent anymore. When we see a situation in the world that needs our attention, our love, our service. We will not be complacent, but we will be compassionate. We will live lives of self-aware, but not self-absorbed. Okay, so we will step into this life of Christ with self-awareness rather than self-absorption. These are ideal, by the way. I haven't figured that one out on every day. I walk a line. Sometimes I'm a little self-absorbed. Sometimes I'm self-aware. And it's a fine line to walk. But the new clothes that we put on in Christ call us to be self-aware, not self-absorbed. We concern ourselves with justice, not rightness. This is a hard one for those of us who like to be right. But as I'm reminded sometimes by friends, do you want to be right or do you want to be happy? Sometimes I need to let go of my need to be right, but fight for what is right. That's what justice is about. Fighting for what's right and making sure that justice can be a reality for all in our relationships, in our world, in the way food is distributed, and the way power is distributed, and the way we live together in community with one another. We put on this new clothes of unity and live with unity, not uniformity. Dylan came out of the water. He didn't look like the rest of us all of a sudden. We don't all of a sudden just become, although one of the things Paul says is that there is one cup, and there was one bread, there was one loaf, and we are all one in the body of Christ. But what that looks like is unity, not uniformity. So we celebrate diversity, we celebrate the variety of gifts that are brought to the table and to the community and to the body of Christ, celebrating our unity, not some false sense of uniformity. And finally, we put on the clothes of humility. Humility, not humiliation. Again, one of my favorite sayings about humility is that humility is not thinking less of yourself, it's thinking of yourself less. Do you hear that? It's not thinking less of yourself, but it's thinking of yourself less. So humility moves us to service. We put others. We're concerned more about others. This is a good counterbalance to that whole self-absorption thing. It's hard for me to be self-absorbed if I'm humble and thinking more about others in service to them and in love to them. So these are just some of my ideas about how we dress ourselves as people who walk in the light, as children of Christ, as people who are new in the body of Christ. When you come forward to the table today, I'm going to invite you, if you would like, since it's not very often that we have this womb and tomb full of water here, to come on around the table when you come to receive communion and dip your hand in the water. You can just put it on your head and say, I am baptized, and remember your own baptism. Use this as a time to renew your own commitment. Every time we come to the table, it's an opportunity to do that. And on special occasions, when we have this water here, we can remember our baptism. Remember the day you were baptized. Remember the day that you made a commitment to put on Christ and to leave behind all these old ways and to step into the newness of Christ. Thanks be to God.